From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at Powell Symphony Hall in St. Louis, Missouri, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. It is so great to be here in St. Louis, especially because of what happened Wednesday night at Busch Stadium when Carl Castle, a Cardinals fan since the 1946 World Series, when Carl Castle, and this is absolutely true, got to throw out the first pitch. It was a strike, by the way, belt high on the black.
Actually, Peter, I was offered a contract to be the new closer for the Cubs.
There you are. Speaking of sports heroes, former St. Louis Rams quarterback Kurt Warner will be joining us later by phone. He's going to be letting us know how much he misses this place. But first, it's your turn. Give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, my name is Mike Field, and I'm from Spicer, Minnesota.
Spicer, Minnesota?
That's me.
I didn't think there was any spice in Minnesota.
No, there's plenty.
I'm sorry. That was unfair and probably very familiar to you. Where is Spicer?
Spicer is in southwest Minnesota. It's about two hours away from Minneapolis.
2 hours away from Minneapolis. Well, you want to be away from there. There's too much going on.
Yeah.
Untrustworthy. Well, welcome to our show, Mike. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe magazine and the author of the book Idiot America, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hey, Mike.
Next is one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts. And lastly, it's a television personality and a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, Mr. Mo Rocca.
Hi, Mike.
Mike, welcome to the show. You'll start us off with Who's Carl This Time? That's our first game. Carl Castle is going to recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl's Voice, on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Sounds good. Ready to go.
Let's hear first from Michael Barone of the Washington Examiner. He was summing up a bill proposed in Congress this week.
Nice little bank you got there. Wouldn't want anything to happen to it.
So what new bill was he talking about?
The health care bill?
Not the health care bill. That one's done. This is the next one. This is about banks, as you can tell.
National bank tax?
Ooh. No, it's about the banks. That help you at all?
I've got nothing.
Got nothing. Well, it's the financial reform bill. It's the bank regulation bill. Remember about 18 months ago when everybody discovered that maybe it wasn't a good idea to loan $1 trillion in mortgages to unemployed people, fictional cartoon characters, and household pets?
Sure.
Anyway, yeah, the president and congressional Democrats have proposed new regulations on the financial industry to prevent it from happening again. The Republicans instinctively had to reject it. In the American body politic, they are the gag reflex. But you got to feel bad for the GOP because the Democrats have put them in the position of having to defend Wall Street. Image consultants suggested to the Republicans that they humanize the problem. So meet the face of GOP opposition, a poor soul forced to trade in his 7 series for a 3 series, Joe the hedge fund manager.
National bank tax. Banks don't play taxes. That's absurd.
No.
It's un-American.
The political dynamic this week was weird because the Democrats came out with this thing and then the Republicans opposed it and they expected the Democrats to fold and quiver like they usually do, but they fought back. Mitch McConnell, for example, went to the Senate floor and he started the speech. He's like, this plan is a job-killing expansion of government and oh my God, Harry Reid is biting my leg. Get off!
Will the health care bill cover that?
All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
It's the diplomatic equivalent of speed dating. Every few minutes, it seems, another foreign leader is escorted into the room.
Now, that was the New York Times this week summing up a big meeting in Washington. What was the meeting?
Not doing about the earthquake.
It had very little impact in Spicer, Minnesota, whatever it was.
Impact is correct. Well, I'll give you a hint. One item at the dinner buffet at the banquet was a cloud of mushrooms.
That's nice.
Oh.
The nuclear summit.
A nuclear summit, of course, yes. It was the biggest gathering of world leaders in 60 years, a remarkable constellation of international stardom, an Academy Awards for ugly people. The president got 46 nations to sign an agreement which will limit the spread of nuclear material. And in order to get, you know, the 46 nations getting along, it was, as the Times said, sort of the diplomatic equivalent of speed dating. You get 30 seconds with each other leader to decide if you want further diplomatic relations.
Ooh, if you want to disarm right then and
exactly.
There.
So here are some tips for speed diplomacy, if this happens again and you get invited. Don't keep going on about your old alliances. Right? Nobody wants to hear Slovakia go on and on about how great things were with the Czech Republic. It's over, Slovakia. And don't talk about your exports. Ask about his exports.
Someone just walked in here and blockaded me while I was making my move.
Don't mention, even in a sidelong way, the size of your missiles. Nobody wants to hear it. If you have an armada, you don't need to talk about your armada.
And make it clear right at the beginning of the evening that it will be a non-proliferation evening.
Yes. All right, Mike, here is your last quote.
They're expecting that you can visit a loved one for a week with just a toothbrush and a comb.
That was New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez complaining about Spirit Airlines. Spirit Airlines shocked the world this week by announcing it will start charging passengers for what?
Bathroom services.
Not yet. Another airline, Ryanair, is saying they're going to do that, but no, the Spirit Air hasn't gone that far. But they are going to charge you for bringing on what?
Toothpaste?
No. This means John Edwards can't fly at all because he's got too much of this in his life right now.
Baggage.
Baggage, but what kind of baggage?
Carry-on baggage?
Carry-on baggage, yes. They're going to charge for carry-on baggage. Horror. The tragedy. First, they took away our free peanuts. And I said nothing because I am watching my salt. The problem is when they charge for checked bags, fine, you cram all your stuff into your carry-on. But now what do? Everyone will start wearing all of their clothes. Mm-hmm. We'll be walking into planes wearing 18 layers with our arms sticking out to the sides because we cannot bend them.
And a necklace made of laptops.
Exactly. No, we figured.
I was thinking one of those big cargo pantsuits with about 12 pockets.
Right. Or people will
cargo say, pants, finally living up to their description.
Exactly.
Right? That's right. And Ryanair is going to charge for using.
Ryanair, Irish airline, discount airline, says they're going to start charging.
Is it going to be Irish?
I believe they're Irish.
Is it going to be like one of those old ones in the bus station where you put the quarter in, turn the little dial, and open the door?
This is actually funny. They're having a problem implementing this. This is true because they can't come up with a lock strong enough to withstand the irate and otherwise upset people. Yes. Who will be wanting to use that bathroom.
You need a 9 Guinness proof lock,
and that hasn't
been developed yet.
Exactly. Carl, how did Mike do in our quiz?
Well, Mike came through with 2 correct answers, Peter, so Mike, you win our prize.
Wonderful.
Well done. Thank you so much for playing, Mike.
You're welcome.
Thank you.